Let's go to Revelation 1 tonight. Now, let me just update you here what we're doing. We are looking at the New Testament and how the New Testament changed the laws of the Sabbath. Now, not for the Jews. The Jews still do the Sabbath day. And the only reason is because they've been blinded. All right, they've rejected the gospel. And as a people, God is not dealing with them as a nation. Now, he will in the tribulation period, but right now, the in New Testament times, and that's what we've been looking at, that the Sabbath for the church, the Christian church, the New Testament church, the Sabbath changed to the Lord's Day. And we noticed last week how, or the week before, Brother Hamlin was here last week, I guess, but we noticed how the New Testament church went to church on Sunday in honor of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. These folks that come to church on Christmas and Easter, Dr. Smith calls them Holly Lily Christians. But these folks that come on just two Sundays out of the year, and almost like they're doing God a favor by showing up on Easter, and they say, well, it's Resurrection Sunday. Well, truth is, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, all right? It's the first day of the week, and that's why we come to church, to worship and be thankful for the Lord who went to the cross and died and did not stay in the grave. He came out on the third day. So we've been looking at verses that show us the change from the Old Testament Sabbath on Saturday to the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, and that's the day that the New Testament church now honors as the holy day, if you will, the Sabbath, the day of rest. We are not bound by Sabbath laws. We are not bound by all the things in Exodus that God had to say to Moses about the Sabbath. And certainly we are not bound to all those restrictions and all of those rules that the Pharisees put upon the Sabbath about 500 or 600 years before the Lord Jesus came. All right, so those Pharisees, they rose to power during that period, and they came up with all these additions that you could not walk but a certain distance, you could not eat, it had to be something that was already prepared. And that's why they got on the disciples when they were walking through a wheat field, and the guys were, the apostles were just raking off the wheat from the stalks. They were just going and wiping it clean with their hands and then just eating it like popcorn. And they said, oh, they're working on the Sabbath. That's an abomination. Well, no, no, it wasn't. But that's what liberals do. They take it to the extreme and try to make it something that it's not. And so anyway, we don't observe all of those things with the Lord's Day. But nonetheless, it should be a time, a day of rest. Now, this is just me. I'm not saying you have to do what I do, but I don't mow grass on Sunday. I just don't. I don't want one of my neighbors to look out and see me mowing grass on Sunday and say, well, I thought it was the Sabbath day. Isn't he supposed to be resting? You know, I don't want that to happen, so I just don't do it. Now, I can remember years ago when I was a little guy, and my dad's sister, they were staunch Nazarenes. Staunch Nazarenes. And you didn't go out to dinner. You didn't go out to lunch on Sunday. All right? That was an abomination. And you know, isn't it strange? Dr. Bob Sr. was a wise old man, and Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and he said, your don't religion is somebody else's do. You know, do you see that? Your don't religion is somebody else's do. Well, you know, back in the 60s, you know, the thought of going to a restaurant to eat after church was considered an abomination. And if the Lord tarries his coming, I'm afraid that we're going to get to the place where Sunday is just an ordinary day. It already is, I think. All right? I can remember when restaurants weren't open on Sunday. I can remember when car dealerships were closed. I think they still are in Maryland, aren't they? Aren't they still closed on Sunday in Maryland? But not in West Virginia. No, I mean, you know, all kinds of changes have taken place, but anyway, here let me show you another example where we have not the Sabbath mentioned, but the Lord's Day mentioned. All right, so in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 9, I, John, whom also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos. That little phrase is always, I always marvel at it. In the island that was called Patmos. It's almost like John wasn't real sure where he was, but he heard others call it Patmos, all right? He wasn't even really sure where he was, but he heard it called Patmos, and he was there as a prisoner. You'll see he was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. But now look at verse 10. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Sabbath. That's not what it says, is it? No, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that's Sunday. That's the first day of the week. All right, so I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. All right, so again, what we're seeing here is it was on Sunday when John received the book of the Revelation. It's not revelations, plural, it's one revelation. And he got that revelation on Sunday, the Lord's day. All right, now let's go back to the Gospel of Matthew now. Let me show you another place here. Matthew chapter 28. All right, Matthew 28, look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. In verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. That kind of sounds like the same person that John saw in Revelation 1, doesn't it? Huh? You know why? Because it was. All right. Then look at verse 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And here's the great New Testament declaration. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now notice when this was. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now remember, the Jewish day goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. All right, so get it, get the picture in your mind here. In the end of the Sabbath, all right, so 6 o'clock in the evening thereabouts, all right, on what we would call Saturday, the Sabbath day, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn. So when did this happen? Watch. Here's 6 o'clock right here. Watch, everybody. Here's 6 o'clock right here. And so at 6 o'clock, it becomes the first day of the week. All right? Got it? So it goes through the night. And then as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. So Sunday morning. And that this is why we come to church on Sunday. This is the Lord's day. All right? And so here it is again, connected this time with the Sabbath, so that we will get that mental picture in our minds of the difference between Saturday and Sunday. All right, so 6 to 6, that is a 24-hour day. And in the Bible, there are 12 hours of the day and there are 12 hours of the night. Okay, just like us, only we start at midnight. All right, everything in our world goes from midnight to midnight. But in Israel, and even today, it's the same way. It's the same way from 6 to 6. It's really confusing when you go there. And you're there on the Sabbath day. It's weird. All right, as I told you, they don't have butter. Man. That's just not right. You know it? That's just not right. I went and argued with one of the waiters one time. I said, the first time we were there, I didn't know. And I said, why don't we have any butter on the table? And he said, there's margarine. I said, I don't want margarine. I want butter. And he said, well, we can't have butter. And I said, why? He said, Sabbath laws. I said, I'm not Jewish. He looked at me and smiled and he said, well, we have to, you're in Israel. We have to obey Jewish law. And I said, I tell you what, you go get me about 5 of those little packets of butter. I'll give you $5. You put them in my hand and we'll be good. I won't tell anybody if you don't. And he just looked at me. He thought about it. He really thought about it. But then he said, no, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. I'll get in trouble. And so what I started doing was the day before on Thursday, I would get 4 or 5 of those little packets of butter, and I'd put them in my pocket and then run up to the room, put them in my room before we got on the bus to take off. That way, I had butter the next morning. Yeah, so nobody got in trouble. All right? But we don't have all those rules connected to the Lord's Day. Yes, the principle is to rest. But let me show you that the principle is to rest. Folks, you remember back in chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And verse 2 says, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So that's the Sabbath. So wait a minute. The Sabbath, look here, all right, don't miss this now. All right, so let's say that right here's Moses, and he gets the law, and the law has all the Sabbath rules in it. All right, nod your head. You with me? All right, so if you look at Genesis 2, 1 and 2, that goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. So the Sabbath, resting on the Sabbath, was not a new concept, especially with God. It was not a new concept. And by the way, God did not put that Sabbath restriction upon the Gentiles. It was on the Jews. But the principle now, don't miss the principle. The principle is even God rested one day a week. And it's certainly not going to hurt us if we rest one day a week. As a matter of fact, it would help us. You're not under law to do that. You're not under law. You see, we're not any longer under law. We're under grace. Thank the Lord. That means I can eat butter on Saturday. Right? Yeah. I tell you, y'all wait. Butter's growing on the tree of life when we get to heaven. You wait and see. Right beside the Snickers bars and Reese cups. All right. Y'all having fun with that, aren't you? Yeah, go ahead. That's all right. I don't blame you. All right, so in the end of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath goes all the way back to the beginning, folks. And God will bless a people who can read the Bible and see a principle and observe it. And there's no law, but it's good to rest. God did. You know, we don't have to work 7 days a week. We can rest. God's not going to be mad at us if we come to church. Amen. All right. All right, now, I took way too much time for that. But I hope you see the point. All right, now let me show you that there's something else here to think about before we're done here with this. And I hope I can get it done in 15 minutes. I doubt it. I can't do anything in 15 minutes. But here's something to think about, all right? How did Jesus spend that first Sunday, that first day of the week? How did he spend that day? I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know, let me see if I can figure this out. So turn to the Gospel of John for a moment. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. And let me show you from John and a couple other verses in Matthew and also in Luke. And let me show you a couple of things that the Lord Jesus did on this first Lord's Day, the very first one. All right, let's look at John 20 and look down, please, to verse 10. It says, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." And by the way, folks, that's easy to do. All right? Gordon's Calvary, where the Lord was placed in the tomb, you would have to, if you're standing outside, the stone had been rolled away, remember? The stone was rolled away. And so if you're standing outside that tomb and you're looking in, you would have to see where he was laid. You would have to stoop down to look, all right? And so that's a very accurate way of saying. So that she was doing what you would naturally do once you are over there and you see that whole scenario and how it's set up. All right, so verse 13 and verse 12, I'm sorry, "And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." Verse 13, "And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing." So he would have been behind her. All right? She's at the tomb. She's bending over. She's looking in. She was there, remember. Those ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary and a couple of the other ladies, they all followed and watched them place him in the tomb. So she's looking in, and then all of a sudden, we learn in verse 14, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, who said it? Exactly. What's he doing on the first day? What's he doing? Well, he's doing what he's really good at. He's comforting one of his own. All right, look at it. "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne," that's carried, borne, B-O-R-N-E, the E makes it to carry, "if you have borne him hence," in other words, if you've taken him away from here, "tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." So what's he doing? First thing that we see him doing, I mean, it's not even daylight yet. That's why she didn't recognize him. It's dawning, but it's not daylight yet. And what's the first thing we see him doing? Comforting Mary Magdalene, who was weeping and broken. Jesus gave her comfort and encouragement because she thought that someone had stolen his body. She watched him die. She watched where they buried him. She knew that he was placed in that tomb. But when she knelt down and looked, she could not see that he was there. Does that make sense? Certainly does to me. All right? So she stood there. She watched them roll the stone, the soldiers roll the stone in front of the tomb. She watched as the Roman soldiers sealed that tomb. Now, it doesn't mean they got mortar and, you know, trials and started sealing up the tomb. No, they sealed it with the stamp of the governor, Herod, the king. He's the one that sealed the tomb. In other words, he put his stamp what are all those things that the presidents do? What are they called? Baloney. Executive orders. Yeah, there it is. You know, a mind's a terrible thing to waste. Did y'all know that? Yeah, Herod said, executive order, this tomb is to be sealed. Nobody can go in, nobody can come out. And so she watched all that. She knew that they put him in and that nobody was allowed to go inside that tomb and steal his body. And yet she comes in the morning and he's not there. So naturally, when she turned around, she didn't know it was Jesus, but Jesus knew what Mary was thinking, didn't he? And he shows up to comfort her heart. Secondly, this one you'll remember for sure. Look over at Luke 24. This is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. In Luke 24, all right, what's he doing here? Well, in verse, let me make sure I got this right, make sure I'm reading this right. Pastor Brian took my Bible and I'm all confused. This one's not the same as my other one. All right, let's look, please, at, verse 24. Let's look at verse 24. It says, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Watch verse 27. And beginning at Moses. Man, I'd like to have heard that sermon, wouldn't you? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. Now, who's the them? Well, that's verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together. All right? And verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And of course, This fellow was Cleopas. In verse 18, it says, and one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger? All right, but there was Cleopas and another. And that another would have been Mrs. Cleopas, don't you think? I do. And so they're walking and talking about what had just happened, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up. And so they said, don't you know what's happened in Jerusalem? Where have you been? Man, everybody's talking about it. And so Jesus then starts in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe. And so he continued on, verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a sermon that must have been. And they drew nigh unto the village. Verse 29, they constrained him, begging him, saying, stay with us. Come on in. It's almost evening now. Come on in. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. In verse 31, their eyes were opened after he prayed. And then they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? So what did he do on that first day? Well, amazingly, he walked several miles. Now, this is after being crucified 3 days before, beaten to within an inch of his life, 3 days in the tomb, and now he resurrects and he walks several miles with Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. He also gave a devotional Bible reading. Yeah, he gave a devotional Bible reading to these disciples. And then he also sent word to the other apostles in Matthew 28:10. And then in Luke 24 and verse 34, he had a private meeting with the apostle Peter. He's busy. So when we say we go from the Sabbath to the Lord's Day, we should rest. But it doesn't mean we can't do anything. It doesn't mean we can't preach the word. It doesn't mean we can't run the buses. It doesn't mean that we can't take up an offering. It doesn't mean we can't observe the Lord's table. All right? But we're not restricted by, oh, you can only walk from here to the gym. All baloney on all that stuff. You know? Then in Luke 24, he met with the 10 disciples, he met with the 10 disciples in Luke. And then he met with, you remember, I say 10 because Thomas was missing. We doesn't know why, but, and then Judas, he went out and hung himself, so he wasn't there naturally. And then in the upper room, when he appeared before the 10, he actually ate food with them. Look at verse 36. It says, Luke 24, it says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified. Now, let's be honest. How many of you would have been terrified? Raise your hand. If you'd have been standing there and all of a sudden he appeared, I would have too. You know, what was that old song about the snake handling church? They pulled them snakes out, and one boy looked at the other and said, "Where's the back door?" He said, "I've done looked, there ain't one." And the other boy said, "Well, reckon where they want one at." You know? He was going to help them out, I guess. But in verse 36, all the way down through verse 35, I mean, they thought they had seen the Spirit in verse 37. Verse 38, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." I mean, man, they were startled though, weren't they? And then in verse 42, it says, "And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb." I like fish and I like honey, but I don't know if I like them together. Maybe I do, I don't know. But that's what they had to eat. All right, so these six things that the Lord Jesus did, six things, all on the Lord's day. All right, you see the point? So nothing wrong with serving, nothing wrong with helping others, nothing wrong with eating, nothing wrong, you know, I mean, come on. The Bible is not thou shalt and thou shalt not. We are under grace now, not under the law. Amen. All right, well, I'm finished, but I'm not done. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for your goodness and love to us. Father, I pray that you'll help all of us to understand that this Lord's Day has a very important designation for us. And it's not a restrictive Sabbath like the Jews had. It's not thou shalt and thou shalt not. It's not you can only go this and you can only eat that. And you can no, it's not all that stuff. You are the Lord of the Sabbath. And Father, it's all about you. It's not about restrictions on a day. It's all about you. And so, Father, what did you do? You served. You helped. You fed. You cared. And you ministered to others. And you shared the word of God. And Father, we are so thankful that we can do all these things ourselves today on the Lord's day. And Father, we're so grateful that you bless us when we do. So thank you for your word. Use it mightily in our hearts. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.